Hi, this is Miss Melis, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you're listening to Tales from the Tub. It has been an intense autumn. First, I had pneumonia in September, then my parents were here, then my husband had bronchitis, then I had two sets of cousins come to visit on separate days of the same weekend, one I hadn't seen in 28 years. And while we were out to dinner, we left their dog in my studio and he ate a hole in the drywall, which I still haven't fixed. And so I'm recording this in my dining room, which I love because it faces the front of the house so I can look out on the street and watch activity. And it's a cozy room, and if we weren't using it as a dining room, I would have made it my office. But at the same time, it's kind of echoey because it's a square room with square walls and mostly square furniture. So I'm sorry about that. The second set of cousins was a much briefer visit. The first set was supposed to be coffee and ended up being like an 8-hour conversation. The second set of cousins was just breakfast, and that was nice. We see them more frequently, so we didn't need such an intense time together. But then after that, I lost a tooth. Well, I lost a crown. And then I cut my tongue on the remaining jagged edges of tooth that the crown had been covering. Fortunately, my dentist was able to see me at like 9 a.m. the next day, and it's handled. But I couldn't speak very well for the next, until today, really, because my tongue was swollen. And because I'm hypothyroid, everything, whether it's a cold or the flu or having a lacerated tongue, takes longer to heal. So I was going to share a short story, but after all this rambling, I am apparently in essay mode. So instead, I am sharing my last Sunday brunch from Modern Creative Life called The Coming of the Cardinals. Like the swallows that return to Capistrano every year, the heart of fall brings the cardinals back to my yard. And I return to my morning routine of coffee and writing at the kitchen table so I can watch as they flit from tree to tree, sometimes visiting the bird feeder outside my window and sometimes avoiding it, likely because the smell of squirrel is too strong. I've always loved watching birds. I don't mean that I sling a pair of binoculars around my neck and go tromping through fields and forests on an avian hunt, though I understand the appeal of capturing a rare moment on film. Rather, I'm a backyard bird watcher. I enjoy following the antics of the bully blue jay who drives the starlings and finches out of the trees, only for them to settle right back in. Winter comes with doves, one of whom insists that the bird feeder is really her nest, but she never really stays in it for long. In spring and summer, we have robins and hummingbirds who buzz our windows and skim low over the puppy pool, stealing sips of water, or sometimes using it as a bath. We don't chlorinate the puppy pool. But November, which used to be a really dark month for me because it's the anniversary of so many family deaths, has lately been brightened by the arrival of cardinals. We have a whole family of these bright red birds, and they return every year. The females are feathered gray and rust and red and arrive with the first signs of being egg-heavy. The males are brilliant crimson and scarlet, and when they cock their heads and stare at me from their bright eyes, I'm convinced they're appraising me in the same way I'm assessing them. At the beginning of the season, I watch them building nests, but as the fall deepens into what passes for winter in this part of Texas, they aren't quite so visible. Instead of witnessing constant activity, a morning visit feels like a kind of gift from Mother Nature herself. It's not only live cardinals that come into my life each year, though. As I slowly turn my home decor from fall and harvest, Halloween and Thanksgiving, to winter, Christmas, and later even Valentine's Day, these ruby-plumed birds have a presence inside my house. First, there is the candle wreath. It's not an Advent wreath, since it only has holders for 3 candles, though I sometimes place a pillar candle in the center and use it as such. But its theme is very much winter and not a specific holiday, with tiny pine trees and even tinier cardinals tucked in a wreath of greens. Since it isn't specifically Christmas, it comes out in late November and stays till mid-February. Then the napkin rings and guest towels come out. My grandmother taught her daughters and granddaughters to decorate all through the house for holidays, so I have cardinal-themed towels in the guest bath, and I try to find cardinal-themed paper napkins for parties and casual use, as well as a couple of candles, but these are the kind that you never actually burn. You just put them around to add punches of color to, like, the guest room and the dining room and even my office. The last cardinals come at Christmas when we decorate the tree, and they're in the form of stuffed birds that have wire clips so they can perch on the edge of a branch. A couple of them are recent additions, but two of them are quite old and much bedraggled. One of them bears tooth marks, the scars from a barely won battle against the curiosity of a puppy. And even though they're faded and worn, I keep putting them on my tree, half convinced that, in the words of the Skin Horse, they become real. My grandmother, I am told, loved cardinals. I never knew this until I found the napkin rings I mentioned earlier. It was on a trip to Tuesday morning with my mother, and something about them just spoke to me. We don't actually use napkin rings or cloth napkins, though we should, with any real frequency, but I had to buy them, even if it was just to have them. More recently, I learned that my mother-in-law also loved the bright red birds. I imagine her looking out of the farmhouse window as a young bride and seeing a streak of scarlet adding colorful cheer to a snow-blanketed prairie. And this image, whether it's erroneous or not, makes me smile to myself. They say that when you're visited by cardinals, you're really being touched by the spirit of a loved one who has died. My grandmother died over a decade ago, but since there are times I swear I can smell her bath powder or feel her cool hand soothing my brow in the middle of the night, I wouldn't be surprised if she sent a bird or two to check up on me. My mother-in-law, on the other hand, died on the last day of August, just a couple months ago, so maybe she's the reason the avian family in my yard seems to have more members this year. Of course, I'm a bit premature with some of this. Thanksgiving has just happened, and Christmas doesn't come until fall is truly over and winter has arrived. My wreath will remain in storage for a couple more days, wrapped in a festive tablecloth, nestled in a box with dessert plates shaped like leaves and a ceramic turkey gravy boat that's incredibly ugly, but we use it every year anyway. In the meantime, I'm pouring another cup of coffee and returning to the library desk that serves as our kitchen table to write stories and watch the birds. Thank you for listening. If you are in the U.S., I hope that your Thanksgiving was a happy one. And wherever you are, I hope that the holiday season that's coming brings you joy and peace and love. Bathtub Mermaid, Tales from the Tub is written by Melissa A. Bartell under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike International 4.0 license and is produced using Bostock and Audacity. For show notes, music credits, and transcripts, please visit www.bathtubmermaid.com. You can contact me on Twitter or Instagram at @melysse, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, or you can send an email to Miss Melysse, M-I-S-S-M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, @gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.